Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. Great to be with you. Once again, my thanks to my co-host last week that they were able to fill in for me. Great to be with you and on this particularly wonderful day and this particularly wonderful weekend. And I've just been noticing how really full the calendar, the liturgical calendar, has been with saints, all kinds of wonderful saints. Just this last week, we've been celebrating, well, of course, we had the great feast of St. James the Apostle on the 25th. We celebrated St. Bridget of Sweden, St. Charbel Maclouf, and then, just one I would like to focus on a little bit. On Thursday, we celebrated Saints Joachim and Anne. And I got to tell you that as a convert to the Catholic faith, you know, we didn't pay much attention to, well, certainly not nearly as much attention as now, to Mary, our Blessed Mother. She did, of course, appear around Christmas time, but not necessarily a lot of other times. And it really never occurred to me before I was well into my Catholic faith that, Jesus had grandparents. And that was something that was striking to me. That had a profound effect on me. And just a shout out to all you who are grandparents out there. Thank you for the witness of faith that you are to your children and grandchildren. I think many of you know that the office, the Department of Evangelization, the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese has a particular outreach to and for grandparents, and so check that out at archspm.org or rediscover-faith.org. And you can find out more for in terms of resources for grandparents as well. But one of the things that really struck me about Jesus having grandparents was it really drove home his humanity, which of course does come to him through our Blessed Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I think that's one of the things that oftentimes we Catholics can tend to downplay. Now hear me out here. Hear what I'm saying is that we tend to look at the divinity of Jesus and we worship him rightfully as our Savior and as our Lord. But just a reminder here in the midst of just coming off of celebrating Saints Joachim and Anne that he was fully human as well. And so he is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is also our brother. St. Paul tells us he is also our friend. Perhaps you remember in John chapter 15 when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says that I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. So we know what Jesus is up to if we are indeed his friends. And so we need to come. We need to come into personal relationship with him. We need to have that intimate relationship, that friendship with Jesus as well, still reverencing him as God, as he truly is, still honoring him, worshiping him, adoring him as he is, but recognizing that the bringing together of the divine and the human nature in the person of Jesus Christ means that God is intimately close with us. And of course, he has left us his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist such that we can partake with him. We can have our human nature united with his and therefore be brought into communion with the divine nature, the divine life as well. So that's my little encouragement today, just to think about where are you in terms of that relationship with Jesus? How can you go a little bit deeper, whether that's to offer your offer a prayer, to pray to him from your heart, or maybe it's offering for the first time your very life to him, to turn over your life to him and say, yes, Lord, I do trust in you. All right, so that's what I've got for my little encouragement for you today. And as we turn the page and look at what's coming up here on the Rediscover Hour today, a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking with David Busacher, who's going to tell us a little bit about an event that he attended over at St. Agnes that was really about the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. But first, we're going to be talking with Estela Villagran Manachero. Hopefully, I didn't massacre that too awfully bad. And we're going to also be talking with Viviana Sotro about Latino ministry here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis and what's going on there. Some exciting things happening there. And that's what we're going to get to right after our first break. But before we go to break, of course, we always want to pause offer the show to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's join together in prayer and pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're off into our first break, but right after that, we're going to be talking about Latino ministry. Stay with us. It's going to be good.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
And I just showed up for my own life. And I'm standing here taking it in, and it sure looks bright.
And we're back on the Rediscover Hour. Great to be with you again, and we are talking Latino ministries here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Joining us now in the studio is Estela Villagran Manchero and Viviana Sotro. Estela is the current director of the Office of Latino Ministry for the Archdiocese, as well as nationally the president of the National Association for Diocesan Directors of Latino Ministry. And she is married, she has three children, and she likes to dance the tango and Zumba.
Yes,
that's right.
Correct.
Estela, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. I'm well. It's good to see you. And Viviana is the mission director at St. Stephen's in Minneapolis. She works with families there and is on the Encuentro, which we're going to be talking about, Encuentro Prenen Committee. She is married with four children. The eldest two were born in Argentina before she came here in 2002, and the two youngest were born here in Minnesota, and she enjoys camping and playing volleyball. Viviana, welcome.
Yes. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us. All right. So, first of all, let's just start out. Estela, what's going on in the Office of Latino Ministry? Nothing, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, let's see. Well, out of our office, we run 32 different programs. So, but right now, we are extremely busy with the fifth Encuentro.
Okay.
And as... And let me tell you a little bit about it, so
please,
we have a background. So the Encuentros, which means encounter, and it's a very popular name now, you know, because Pope Francis is saying it all the time, to have that encounter. But Encuentro is part of the history of the church, of the Latino church in the U.S. So very, very early in our history, in the 40s, we had been, you know, a minority, and, you know, nobody pay attention to us. And so we decided, okay, let's do the Encuentro. And what we do is we work at the parish level, at the base, and we get together, we have that encounter, we do a process. The process just to see what the reality is, then to... think about what does the Bible tell us, what the Jesus teaches, what the Catholic Church teaches. So how do we act in base of all this? And we have had four Encuentros prior, which has given us a wonderful step or place in our church. So the very first Encuentro, out of that process, the church, the USCCB, actually the bishops kind of realized we were here.
And this is in the 1940s, is that
yeah,
what you said?
And, okay. And that's the part of the history. So yeah. We really wanted to say we are here, yeah. We need an office where, you know, someone can serve us in our own language. And that's actually how the office of... in the committee of the UCCV, we have an office from them. So in the second encuentro, we realized that, so we can keep doing this. In the second encuentro, we asked the bishops, okay, we need formation right now in our own languages. And the bishops then opened 8 different places around the U.S. where we will have institutes to form ourselves in our own languages with master's degrees and everything. So this was a huge impact into our leadership of the church. Then for the third encuentro, we say, okay, so here we are leaders, we are prepared, and what do we do now? We do the pastoral plan for the Hispanic Latino ministry around the country. And that is actually the plan that we are still using. And that was in 85. It's the plan that many of the dioceses are still using to develop the ministry.
And that came out of the third encuentro.
That's right.
So I can tell how each one is building upon the previous one.
Exactly.
But we've got we've had another one in between, and now we're in the fifth. So, all right, going.
That's right. So yeah. The one in between on the fourth encuentro, it actually we changed the name because the bishops say, you're doing this so well. Please, let's do it for all the ethnias and culture of the church. Mm. So we call it Encuentro 2000, where absolutely every single person was included in the planning and the, you know, in the festivities of recognizing every ethnia and every culture.
Wow.
And that was, of course, in 2000, and it was done in Los Angeles. And, of course, now is the fifth Encuentro. And we have been planning this since 2013, and it has been a process of preparing the leadership for it the first, 3 years. And now, in our diocese, actually, we have done it in our parishes last year, and then every parish had, their own groups that they went through the process. The idea was, the love of God and being missionary disciples.
Wow.
And it was all based in Evangelii Gaudium, of course, yep. When Pope Francis invited us to be that evangelizing body mm-hmm. of the church. And so we did it then. We did last year, we did a diocesan encuentro with all the people that have participated on it. And from that, we had many fruits. And we had 3 major areas where everybody thought that we needed to focus on. And those were the young people, the formation, and our families.
Young people, formation,
and families. Those were the 3 tops.
Wow.
So after, in April of this year, we had a regional encuentro with all the other dioceses of our Region 8, the Dakotas and Minnesota diocese. And right now, we are getting ready and organizing the national encuentro, which is going to be in September 20 to 23rd. In Dallas, Texas.
Wow. September 20th this year.
This year.
Oh, wow.
And we are preparing. We have a delegation of 22 leaders that are going there. And, of course, our Bishop Andrew Cousins is the chair of the Encuentro region.
Nice. So in that Dallas, the national Encuentro, how many people are you expecting?
We are expecting 3,500 delegates.
Wow.
And everything is very controlled because, we have 160 diocese participating out of the 197 that we have in the country. And we will look at 28 different pastoral ministerial areas that the whole country has been identifying. Mm-hmm. So we are going to work on those. But it's very exciting. We have delegation from the Vatican coming. We have from the different episcopal regions of Canada, Mexico, and we have another whole delegation from the CELAM, which is the whole Latin American Bishops' Conferences.
Oh. Wow. All right, so that's the National Encuentro that's coming on. Viviana, let's get to you in the conversation here. Now, how you got roped into all of this? I mean, roped in is too strong of a word. How did you start engaging with Encuentro specifically and some of the work that's going on here?
Sure, and that was the beauty of this process, that everyone was involved. Every parishioner, every person of faith was involved in this beautiful process that, you know, it was taking time to see how is our church, but not the church as a building, how are the people that we serve. So every parish was invited, of course, my parish was too. And I think that the great thing that happened was going out of our own walls and meeting our neighbors and knowing what's going on in our boundaries. In the peripheries, as Pope Francis says, and right, peripheries are not the farms. Peripheries maybe are those buildings that are maybe five blocks from our church, where we have many families living there, and maybe they don't even know that there is a church so close that is so willing to help them and to guide them to Christ. So during this process in our church, we also went out. That was part of the Quinto Encuentro process that I really loved, and I'm so glad that the church is doing it, right? We so much need to go out to encounter our brothers and sisters in Christ. So as our parish did, we went out and we encountered many good things, but we also encountered a very wounded domestic church. Mm. Our families are suffering, and not just our Latino families. Our church is in a very diverse community in South Minneapolis. So, of course, we were working mainly with Latinos, but we do have Somalis, we do have American people, Native American people. And, you know, it was a kind of a common denominator, the suffering of the families. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that the church was asking us to go out, encounter your brothers and sisters, present Christ to them, give them some hope. I think that was the beauty of this process, of this Quinto Encuentro, right? We got to present Christ to others. That's what our church is about. So there we went. And as I said, we encountered beautiful families. We encountered many suffering families.
Were you going door to door at this point?
Yes, we did many ways of evangelizing on the streets.
On the streets, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We visit people at houses. We went to the parks, markets. You know, South Minneapolis, there are many Latino markets that you are there for 5 minutes and you have the opportunity to talk to about 20 families.
Yeah.
So that was the way, you know, going out and just saying, hi, you know, my name is Viviana. How is it going so far? I know I'm just from the church, you know, that there is a church here. And so we engage in a conversations, and sometimes people were more open, some others, they were not. But, you know, we were just being witnesses there and trying to give the love of Jesus to them, and it was great. So during this process, not only St. Stephen's did it, many churches in our diocese did the process. So we encountered the priorities that Estela said, right? There is a huge need on family level, working with young adults, forming our leaders and evangelizing. So because of that going out, we realized that we need to do more for our families, and that's why at a local level we'll have an event for families on this August 4th as a result of this Encuentro. And it will be an Encuentro. It will be a family encounter at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. We'll retreat for a day. All families are invited and welcome to be there, and it'll be a great time to, you know, move away from the noise of the everyday life and be together as a family and see where is our family at, and if we need to reconcile, if we need to ask for forgiveness and to spend some time with the Lord in adoration.
And that's on August the 4th, you said, at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. And
that's
it is,
right.
Is it on all day?
It'll be, yep, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll be ending with Mass that will be celebrated by Bishop Cousins and
nice.
Other priests. Yeah.
Nice. Wow. Very good. And I presume more information is available on this somewhere, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. The information in the brochure is in our website, www.archspm.com. And of course, in you can give us a phone call at 651-291-4434, and that is our office, our main number, and we will give you all the details that you need to come. This is a completely free event.
Wow!
So
We are very excited, very excited to receive the families. And this is part of our, you know, Latino Family Day celebrations that we do every year. So since 2012, the bishops had say that he really wanted to for the Latinos to feel part of the church, mm-hmm. and that's how we start gathering every year. And every year has a little tweak, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask. So, what will people encounter if they were to come on August 4th? I mean, just give us a taste.
All right. Well, our old Latino days, you know, it was full of soccer and games and, you know, food contest and all that. But like Viviana said, today or, you know, next week is going to be a retreat. So people are going to come with all their children. We have a program for every single age. Of course, the babies, we will have a very good daycare with professional people that will take care of them. And then we have our dear nuns from San Mark, the Peruvian nuns that are there, very graciously agree again to direct the elementary children. So we will have two different classes with Sister Amy. And they will, you know, do a program for the young children. And of course, then we are going to have some exercises with parents and young youth, you know, in the same room. Because
together,
they need to listen to each other. And they need to hear, you know, what is missing in our home. You know, so we have beautiful exercises and a lot of skits with, you know, so just to help them to reflect what type of family do I have, you know. Are we this hotel family that, you know, everybody comes and goes and, you know, nobody connects with anybody. They just, you know, it's just like a little hotel. And, you know, we're not going to give away all the details.
No. Yeah, that's right. Like I said, just a teaser. Yeah, that's good. Is the entire day in Spanish?
Actually, we are going to do it bilingually because our youth are more comfortable with the English language.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
Yes. And then we have a special talks from our priests that are going to be separate. So, of course, for the parents, and will be in Spanish, and for the youth in English.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That sounds like you're thinking. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, it's a need.
Yeah, that's very good. And that, again, is August the 4th, and it's going to be at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. More information available on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, and do click on Latino Ministries, and you will be able to find out more about that. And you want to give us, let's see, the phone number once again. I guess I got it here, 651-291-4434. Again, 651-291-4434. All right, so I'm just wondering, going back to a little bit of the bigger picture here, Estella, so we've talked about what's happening. You said nationally, regionally, and locally, there's things going on. Is that true across the country that different regions are asked to do something and even locally different parishes come together to put on some sort of encuentro events, those sort of things?
Yes, actually, it was planned for every single diocese. And like I say, we had 160 dioceses participating on it. And we have actually not only engaged the Latino population, but also the English speakers. So this process, many of the parishes are utilizing it to be like a strategic planning, you know. So because it's a real thinking and, okay, so how are we as a church? I would really a church that goes out. Like Viviana was describing her church, that is absolutely, you know, you're doing the mission there. This is what Pope Francis wants us to do. So I think that the idea was embraced by the some of the pastors that had vision, and they will do it for both languages. So in the last subcommittee meeting of the bishops, which I am an advisory for the Hispanic Affairs Committee, all the bishops requested us to inculturate this for another cultures and also rewrite it a little bit so everybody, all the English speakers and the whole U.S. church will have the material for it. So that is that was our, you know, orders to go for the next 2 years, and that's what the process committee is going to be doing. So hopefully they saw such a beautiful, you know, impact the bishops did, that they want to be a part of it, and that they requested that out of our subcommittee.
And are they doing, maybe one of you knows, are different areas in the country, are they doing similar things to Viviana, what you described in terms of going out, encountering families where they are in the markets, door-to-door, in the parks, that sort of thing?
Yes.
They are.
The program or the process is we meet for the first time, and the second time, we send the leaders out.
Wow.
Everybody has to be missionary disciples.
Oh, that's great.
And the experiences, just like Viviana was sharing with us, all the people that they encounter and the experiences that they collected, they are absolutely magnificent. And actually, all the experiences that we collected, we are preparing national documents to be, you know, to be part of that. Of that history, mm-hmm. because, you know, we are really revolutionizing our church.
Yeah. Well, it sounds exciting and a little nerve-wracking. So, Viviana, back to you for a second. When you were first going out, what were you feeling as you were going
out? Oh, gosh. That's my first experience was I kind of panicked. You know, I was like, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? But I was blessed to go out with two other missionaries, two women that, you know, have a beautiful faith. They are so on fire. And I so very well remember our first encounter. We go by two or three, so one of us will initiate the conversation while the other two are praying. I remember that they said, oh, please come with us because you are bilingual and we don't speak very well in English. And I was thinking to myself, what I'm going to say, yeah. But okay. So, but we had this first encounter with a Latino person. And I couldn't say a word. You know, I was just witnessing these two women on fire, talking so with such a passion about their faith, about what Christ have done in their life. And the person that we were talking to received it so well. But that was my experience, doing nothing, just witnessing. And I think that was a big lesson from God to me, saying, yes, you can also be a witness, which all of us should be. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple, right? So it's not scary. I thought it was going to be scary, but it's so simple just to go out with a smile, just to very simple say what God has done in your life, how you encountered Jesus. And it's so powerful, too. It's so powerful, too. It makes such a change in the person that is receiving it. And I remember that this woman that we talked to, she said, you know what, I was having such a hard day today. She had so many family issues. And she said, and I thank God for sending you to me today. So, wow, just 2 minutes, you know, being with a person, giving them hope. So you don't need to know the Bible back and forth. You just need to know how to provide your testimony and how to account what God has done for you.
Yeah. What a wonderful witness and testimony right there, just in saying that, yeah. And would that we all would do that, would seek to be those missionary disciples and out there encountering families. Estella, I'm wondering if you can just say a word to what specifically are some of the challenges that maybe are particularly there amongst Latino families, that sort of thing. You talked about suffering in the families and that sort of thing. Anything in particular that we can be praying for that that certainly you seek to address through Encuentro and how we might support you in prayer for that?
Sure. Well, one of our biggest problem is the separation of the families and what nationally has been, you know, focusing in the border, but that is happening in our city. So we have many families that are separated by immigration problems, or most of them is for that. Poverty, would you like to say, you know, something else, Viviana?
Yeah, of course. You know, there are many issues that our families are struggling with. Family unification, of course. But I think that our general prayer should be, Let's pray for families that are witnesses. Let's pray for families that are, you know, leading what they have in their daily life, and they are doing it in a Christian way, because that's what will change our society, will change our world. So, and not just among Latinos, right? Latinos are living a very specific situation with so many struggles. But I think that families in general being so attacked, and we do need those witnesses, family that are going through their struggles with Christ. And that's what's going to change the world. So please pray for families that are united, that are witnessing to God, and that are being there, out there, you know, giving us hope and faith.
What a great, great encouragement. Again, so just want to, before we have to let you go, just want to hit upon the events that are coming up. So again, we have a family day, but it's out of the Encuentro. It's going on August the 4th at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. For more information, archspm.org, or about any of the things that we've been talking about, archspm.org, click on Latino Ministries, or give us a call at 651-291-4434. So I've got that right. And then what are the dates for the National Encuentro again?
The National Encuentro is going to take place in September 20 to 23rd.
Okay.
With 3,500 delegates from each diocese.
That's wonderful. Are those hand-selected delegates?
Yes, they are selected by the bishop and, yeah,
by
the bishop.
Wow, okay. 3,500 people. Wow. And so we can definitely be in prayer for that.
Yes.
All right. Well, Estela, Viviana, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and God's blessings to you in everything that you're doing.
Amen. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to our next break. And coming up after the break, David Busacker is with us, and he's going to talk us about an event about the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae right after this.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are, and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Everything I am is for your glory.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 AM out in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining us now in studio is David Busacker, who is an engineer for a large 3D printing company. That's interesting in and of itself. And you graduated with a Bachelor of Science with Honors in Industrial and Systems Engineering from the U of M, the real U of M. University of Minnesota in 2016. Yes, exactly. And in free time, your wife Bridget and you volunteer at their parish, which is the Church of St. Mark in St. Paul, and do life with their lay movement, Catholic Advance. Well, welcome to the program, David.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. And we are talking a little bit about an event that you went to at the Church of St. Agnes on the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. So why don't you give us just some of the details of the event at the outset? What was going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the Church of St. Agnes, they were airing a documentary that just came out on the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, like you said. It's called The Sexual Revolution. I think the subtitle is 50 Years After Humanae Vitae.
Mm-hmm.
It was 7 years in the making, and it focuses around a young woman who grew up without a father. She was the progeny of a sperm donation, and so that's how they introduce the topic of fatherlessness and the crisis that we're seeing in real parenthood and in real family life. And then we introduce from there Humanae Vitae's teaching, the foundations of the Billings method. We focus on Planned Parenthood, and then the it continued and talked through a lot of the issues today that we need to be equipped with to defend the teaching.
Okay. And this movie-length documentary?
Yeah, it was about an hour and a half. We took an intermission about an hour through to stretch our legs and talk a little bit. And then we had a panel after the second half-hour session where we had a couple of prominent local theologians and doctors at the same time in the St. Thomas area.
All right. So anything in particular strike you as you're watching this documentary? I mean, I know I can imagine that there's a lot of things going on here and a lot of information to take in, but anything really hit you right where you live?
Man, I mean, as a millennial, you know, we're sort of the authenticity generation, right? And I think that was that had a huge focus in the documentary, which I really appreciated and resonated with. You know, I think that we hate defending something we don't understand ourselves, and especially my generation, where we're kind of the information knowledge generation, right? There's almost no defense for something that you can't explain yourself. So I thought that the depth and the depth of the morals and logic were really sound, and we're speaking to people just like me who want to have everyday sound bites and background to defend the teaching.
Yeah, well, great. And were there other millennials there? I mean, you're a young adult. Were there other young adults?
Yeah, that was the most impressive part. I my estimate was about a third of the audience was millennial, probably under 30. Groups of people, so groups of young people, men and women, scattered throughout the audience. So I think that was really, really encouraging. And if you think about it, that makes sense because millennials are now parents, you know, and that's the thing that we don't talk a lot about, but we're now parent age. So it's now relevant for us. It's now our conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, it strikes me as well that to have a number of young adults, and I'm pleased to hear it in that situation. I think a lot of times, especially with a document that's now 50 years old, may not, for someone my age, may look back upon something like that, which I'm almost 50 myself, so it was about the time that I was being born that the document was really coming out and starting to circulate. You just wonder, is this really speaking to the generation that is moving into family time, into parent time, and that sort of thing? And just thinking about that in a way asking you to speak for your whole generation, so that's not fair. I apologize for that. But thinking about that, is there anything that was contained in the documentary itself that you think especially speaks to millennials? You talked about authenticity, but any particular topic that was hit on that was you think would be really having a lot of impact for millennials?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the structure of the documentary in some ways was around the four prophecies that Pope John the Sixth or Pope Paul the Sixth rather had related to Humanae Vitae, and I think the one that was that's you know so all those prophecies really came true.
Okay, do you have them there?
I sure do actually. Okay. So the first one is infidelity and moral decline. Which didn't take even 10 years to start manifesting itself.
And just to contextualize this, this is if the church would agree to, or if artificial contraception would be, is it, right? That's the setting.
Yes.
If we engage in artificial contraception, here's what the natural fruits of that are.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole reason that Humanae Vitae came around is because this was already in full swing.
Yeah. Just in case if a listener isn't familiar with it, but okay.
Yeah,
all right. So,
absolutely.
All right.
So infidelity and moral decline, was the first prophecy. A loss of respect for women was the second prophecy. And I think that's the one I wanted to respond to your question.
Yeah,
with. I think that, you know, I'm recently out of college myself. And I can't describe to you how disrespected women are. And that's, you know, I think I'm sure it was relevant in his time. It came true. It's relevant now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually asked the question during the panel at the event. I had recently been listening to a critical interview around Humanae Vitae and what are some of the biggest complaints with the writing. And it was two Catholic theologians talking who were both very opposed, actually, to the teaching. And one of the biggest theses they had was around the idea of this ivory tower morality that it sort of totes, which is that, wow, it's great. It's a great ideal. That we don't use contraception. Everyone understands NFP, and there's this education that's worldwide. But guess what? That's not the reality. We need to meet people where they're at, And that was kind of their thesis. And I raised the question to the panel. I said, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to this incongruency between reality and the ideal? And Dr. Deborah Savage on the stage said, what do you mean by ivory tower morality here? Are you talking about respect of women?
Mm.
Is that an ivory tower morality?
Right.
And I think that's the truth, right? We can't be building a system based on a compromised morality.
Yeah.
This is not an ideal situation. This is about the core of who we are.
Right.
And that was super relevant. It's super relevant today. Women's rights are absolutely trampled upon, maybe not in some of the ways that are being toted on in the liberal media, but they're being stomped on in their identity. Mm. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I saw a post on social media that put it in an interesting way, that 50 years ago, Pope Paul VI predicted the Me Too movement. I mean, just in mm-hmm. saying that, you know, yeah, this happens, that that I'm, my integrity as a woman, my dignity is being thrown under the bus,
right.
Just because of some of the things that have come about. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've hit on two of the prophecies. What are the other two?
Sure. So the next one is an abuse of power, especially related to governments and. That was really highlighted in the film. I think the two things that stuck out to me were the one child policy in China, mm-hmm. and the forced abortions that happened there, where women were rounded up if they had already had a child and they were pregnant, and they were literally forced to have abortions, which is just really inconceivable. Honestly, for people, probably anybody listening right now, I can't even think of what that must be like. Mm. And then the second one was in Mexico, even very recently, and maybe even today, I'm not sure, but women are, when they go in for a birth, are advised to walk out with an IUD, contraceptive device, and encouraged not to have another child. Mm. It's an extremely contraceptive nature that happens in governments now. It's sponsored now. And then the last one is an unlimited dominion over the body, which is really, in some ways, the summation of the whole thing, where, look, if we can remove our reproductive system, we've removed one of the most critical parts of our identity, which is a creator. Mm. We're co-creators with God.
Mm.
And if we do that, if we remove that identity, then what's to stop us from doing everything else? Mm. And now, so that's why we see so many people being destructive with their bodies. And of course, a lot of sterilization and performing sterilizations on ourselves willingly. You see billboards all over for male sterilization, just like, come on in and you don't have to worry about having kids ever again. It's something that I'm sure that people who first saw the publishing of Humanae Vitae couldn't have even imagined mm-hmm. we'd see today. And mm-hmm. I think that's just everywhere.
Wow. So just curious from your perspective here too. I mean, as you're going through these things and as you're talking about each one of these things, so what is it going to do in terms of what your own personal response? Of course, I'm sure it's speaking to your own life, how you live your life, things to consider and that sort of thing. But is there a way that you can see engaging with other people about some of the things that you've heard and learned throughout this documentary?
I mean, I'm an engineer in a large company. I interact with people every day who don't agree with me. I have some that I do that do, but I think that everyday people like me are the ones who need to be seeing this documentary and just having those facts at hand so that I can have conversations when things come up, when people laugh at the idea of Catholics not using contraception or not agreeing with abortion. What do I do? You know, I can just kind of, you know, shrug my shoulders or fold my arms and say, well, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Or I can have real facts and real knowledge and a real moral understanding of the issue and approach them. So I think that I'm going to have conversations now with people who laugh at those things in my workplace, mm-hmm. And everyday life. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing I can do as a layperson here.
And it occurs to me that with, as you mentioned, both contraception and abortions, and it occurs to me that while I'm cognizant of some real strides forward that has been made in the pro-life movement and understanding, addressing in particular some of the things that are going on with abortions and what's actually happening. And as we get more and more information on that, it becomes more and more potent. You see more and more young people joining the March for Life, things like this that are happening. But contraception to me seems to be a whole other story. That stats vary, but a high percentage even of practicing Catholics don't agree with the Church's teachings on the use of artificial contraception. And what would you say to someone like that who would respond in your workplace, and whether or not they're practicing Catholics, and they just say, yeah, that is kind of ridiculous, and that you would expect me to run the risk, so to speak, of becoming pregnant, of having a child every time that I had a sexual encounter.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think I want to return quick to the idea that, you know, millennials are authenticity. We're so authenticity driven. And I think that is a really good thing and a really tough thing sometimes. Where it causes us to err is that when we come to agree with the status quo, when we're introduced to an idea like maybe contraception isn't so good, we either take the time to address that or we force it out of our heads because we cannot deal with dissonance. And I think that's why people are leaving the Catholic Church, especially young people, is that I think that it's not that people are disagreeing with the Church's teaching on contraception more than they did 50 years ago. It's just that we just can't stand the idea of not believing part and a huge part of what the Catholic Church teaches. And so we have to depart, you know. And I think that... the morality behind contraception is a really difficult one. And a lot of people say, well, isn't natural family planning, you know, NFP, isn't that just like a Catholic version of contraception? And I think that question right there is one that scares the heck out of most people who practice NFP, like myself, and like a lot of the faithful Catholics I know. And it did get brought up at the event, actually. One of the questions of the panel was, look, how do you respond to that? What's the story? What's the difference between an NFP and contraception? And one of them was, we had one of the priests on stage say, even a 13-year-old once taught me what the difference was. And it was, I won't go into that story, but basically the difference is, one of them is anti-fertility, and one of them is, I guess I'm losing the verbiage here, but the point was that contraception is an act that changes the sexual act into something that cannot allow fertility. And even though 40 to 50% of the unintended pregnancies happen with contraception involved, the intent is there. Mm-hmm. The intent is to prevent a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Using NFP, the act is not changed at all. It's just the timing of the act. Mm-hmm. So from a moral perspective, there is a big difference between NFP and contraception in the way I just described. And then from a practical as well, my wife Bridget is actually doing a lot of amazing work with a website called Managing Your Fertility that she just launched, managingyourfertility.com, where there's a lot of amazing research and things happening around the proliferation of NFP and NFP methods. Like I said, Billings was Dr. Evelyn and Dr. the other Billings, I can't forget, remember his name right now, were very prominent features in this documentary. And from then we've gotten a lot of different kinds of NFP that have come about. We have the Billings method, Creighton, Marquette, CCL, Femme Catholic is a brand new one here. And they all have a lot of research behind them. That's the amazing thing, is that a lot of them tote something around a 98% effective rate as opposed to nothing.
98%.
And when you read a lot of critical arguments against NFP, again, we're talking practicals here, right? We're talking how does it work, you know, in everyday life. A lot of these, anti NFP sites tote sort of this idea of it doesn't really work. The reality is it does. It's an amazing way to plan a family in a way that God has created our bodies to do instead of invading it.
Right. And I'm wondering, just as you're talking about that, David, and David Busacker is our guest today. We're talking about an event that happened at the Church of St. Agnes and a viewing of a documentary on 50 years since Humana Vitae. And going back to the first of those prophecies of Pope Paul VI talked about infidelity and a lessening, a lowering of moral standards, morals. And it seems to me that NFP, one of the things that it almost it presumes, and rightly so, don't get me wrong, but rightly so, is that there is a committed relationship going on here. And particularly, I would hope that there's a marriage here that's going on, the proper context for the sexual relationship. And it seems to me that I don't think any of us are ignorant of the fact that, you know, we have a lot of more spontaneous, let's say, sexual relationships than just within the context of marriage. And do you think that that is an influence on people's just understanding of the need for artificial contraception, that, you know what, sex isn't, to think that sex is reserved for marriage is ridiculous in this day and age? What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I think, right, there's a bit of causality there, right? Where
right.
If we set aside the idea of contraception, most people agree it's fine to have sex before you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do. I think a lot of Catholics do, mistakenly. And if you do agree with that, well, the next logical step is, I don't want to have a child with that person.
Right.
Well, gosh, I'm going to do the most effective thing possible and the easiest to make sure I don't have a child with this person,
right.
And that's to use contraception. After all, we're just using each other.
Mm.
I think a lot of people would admit to that, maybe in different wordage, but they would admit to that.
Mm.
And therefore, they get married later. I think most people get married after having that sort of experience. Oh, we had all had our college years. We all had our young years.
Yeah.
And why would you change your mentality? Look, it worked great while I was in college. Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hearts of why people accept contraception to the degree they do today. Well, gosh, I was willing to do it to my girlfriend in college. Why wouldn't I do it to my wife? You know, there's not any sort of barrier. There's no difference, right? And it's just this person I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with.
And I think a lot of people see that, or maybe the step that we do forget is what Pope Paul VI was talking about, that actually with the advent of artificial contraception, that actually allowed that mentality, it put that on a silver platter. It served it up to us in saying that, yep, sex without any worries about a long-term commitment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Okay, so maybe an closing question here for you too, is that, well, first of all, let me just ask, Is there a way for others to view this documentary? Do you know? Are other parishes showing it, or will it be available, or do you know anything about that?
Yep, absolutely. The documentary is right on the website. The first thing it says is showings, and so if a parish can sign up right there to do a showing. I don't understand exactly how the licensing works, but it's pretty evident there. I'm not sure myself exactly of any local Twin Cities showings coming up, but I'm sure there are some happening soon. And I would highly encourage if a parish is considering looking at it, it was definitely worth their time. I think it's, they have a lot of theologians going on in there, and they did a great job.
Great. And the name of the documentary again is, Sexual Revolution, Sexual Revolution, 50 years since Humanae Vitae. That's what's going on. And then just, in closing, what do you think, give us 2 points to pray for in terms of, the understanding of, specifically for millennials, and how these truths that you were talked about in the documentary, how we can help to spread that amongst particularly the young generation.
I think absolutely the number one thing, as I keep bringing up, is I think authenticity. Pray for the authenticity of Catholics and millennial Catholics. If a Catholic doesn't believe something, they shouldn't be talking about it.
Wow.
And they also should be learning about it. And a great way to do this is watch this documentary. So pray for the authenticity and the courage for Catholics to speak what they really believe.
Amen. Will do. David Busackers, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go and take our final break. When we come back, we've got a whole list of events and things coming up where you can participate and draw closer to Christ. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away but still want growth, Your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Good to see you again, Paul.
Oh, well, good to be seen.
Thanks for helping
Terrible
out, as
thing
always.
To say on the radio.
Well, yeah, I guess on the radio that doesn't really translate, does it? What do we got going on?
Tons of things. As usual, the 2018 Leading with Faith Award luncheon is Friday, August 10th at the University of St. Thomas. Join us to honor and celebrate our Leading with Faith winners. Space is limited. Register today. Gather at 11:30 a.m. for check-in and complimentary beverage service. Lunch is served promptly at noon. These awards are presented by the Catholic Spirit and the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. For more information and to register, visit the events page at archspm.org or call Mary at 651-251-7709.
Grandparents, you are also invited to join Bishop Andrew Cousins for Prayer in Real Life, an evening for grandparents on Thursday, August 16th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Golden Valley. Bishop Cousins will speak on how to pray in real life as grandparents. Let us pray more diligently for our grandchildren. All grandparents are invited to attend. A free will offering will be collected at the event, and refreshments will be provided. No cost. So please register and find more details, including a flyer, on the event page at rediscover-faith.org.
Are you a high school senior interested in college seminary? St. John Vianney College Seminary invites you to the seminary application meeting Wednesday, August 15th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. This meeting is for men entering their senior year in high school and interested in entering seminary formation for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and attending St. John Vianney College Seminary. Parents or guardians are also encouraged to attend this meeting. Join us for Mass, light meal, information on how to make seminary application for fall 2019 entry. Register online at 10,000vocations.org. Or call the Office of Vocations, 651-962-6890.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture invites you to their 2018 summer workshop on prophetic truths, Humanae Vitae Then and Now. Keynote speaker is Bishop John LaVar from the Diocese of New Ulm. The workshop runs from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 18th at the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas in McNeely Hall. Mass will be celebrated by Bishop at 8:15 a.m. that morning in the St. Thomas Chapel. Admission is $25 and includes breakout sessions, a panel discussion, continental breakfast, and a box lunch. For more information, please visit stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium or contact Mary Kay at mkorourke. At stthomas.edu.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. Series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There'll be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen and a series for young adults taking place at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota.
Very good.
What's up next week?
Next week, we heard about the Leading with Faith Award. We are going to hear from a few of this year's 2018 Leading with Faith Award winners. We're going to hear from award recipient Luke Cahill, the managing principal at Real Insight, as well as Dr. Mary Paquette with Alpha Family Clinic, that is. And Dr. Christopher Thompson is also going to be on the show. He's a professor at the Seminary School of Divinity, and he's going to talk about ethical eating, as well as his new book, The Joyful Mystery, Field Notes Towards a Green Tomism. That's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, friends, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, They're There for Life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.